Please be seated. My name is Ken Carson, and it's my great privilege to welcome you to this academic convocation, which traditionally opens the fall semester. In particular, I want to welcome the students who are new to Geneva this year. Whether you are here as a new freshman or as a transfer student, we are excited that you are with us. You are the reason why we do what we do. I hope and pray that your first week of classes has gone well, and I want to encourage you to seek out advice and assistance if things are going less than well. Faculty, resident directors, RAs, the staff in the access office, librarians, and many others all stand ready to assist you in your transition to college generally and to this college specifically. Now, to the rest of you students, that is, those of you who are not new to campus, what do you think of the place? Looks a little different than when you left last May. God was gracious and gave us a great stretch of summer weather, and with the exception of a few hand railings here and there and a flagpole that fell over last night, the project is done. It's finished and it's paid for. One way to characterize our mission at Geneva is that we want to help students, that is, we want to help you learn how to love God with your minds. The primary purpose of this academic celebration is to remind ourselves of this high calling. Of course, this is an academic celebration, so instead of feasting and dancing and lively music, we do this by hearing from one of our excellent faculty, by recognizing the academic achievements of students, and by celebrating the accomplishments of certain members of the faculty. But you're allowed to make noise, so when the appropriate times come, please express yourself. For the most part, we'll let the printed program tell you who we are and what our role in this morning's ceremony is. Thank you for being here to celebrate the gift of learning.
Thank you, Dr. Carson. Good morning. Change takes a little time, costs a little money, but in the end, it is well worth it. So hang in there. Last week, we celebrated life, it's your move, as a theme to orientation. We had a great time, if you weren't there. And I was reminded the other day of a former chaplain of mine who said, life is not a dress rehearsal. And the choices you make today, this year, will affect the character of the person you become 5 years from now, 10 years from now. So I want you to chew on that, because this is an opportunity, a unique opportunity, one that not most Americans get to enjoy. We used to talk about higher education is a great privilege. Today, I think here at Geneva, we talk about it as a calling. You are called to be a student. In this time, in this place, we believe God has brought you here for a purpose. And we want you to maximize that purpose and enjoy the opportunity and take full advantage of it. And so I was reminded of the author in the book of Hebrews, where it says that we encourage you, and in fact, we implore you, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us. What hinders you today? The sin that so easily entangles us. What's entangling you today? And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. As Dr. Carson said, we're here to help you. We're here to help you with whatever that may be. We want you to be successful. That is a unique thing in Christian higher education. And let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's fix our eyes on the Jesus way this year. If you're a new student, you remember Dr. Guthrie talking about throwing the switch back on. If you're not a new student, find one and ask them what that means. But that's what we want you to do this year. Throw it on and take advantage of the opportunity before you. And may God bless you in doing that. Amen.
Let us now go together before our King in prayer. God Almighty, you are over all of creation, and for this we bring you praise. You've made the world and all that is in it, the creation, both in its physical attributes, but also in the things unseen, institutions, emotions, political structures, and even, Lord, ideas. You not only hold reign over the mountains, sky, and stars, but we proclaim that you are over education and friendships, both time-tested and freshly developed. It is the fullness of this creation which entices our curiosity and drives us toward wonder and study. It is the immensity and beauty of your universe that draws us to know you more through the fields of engineering and education, literature and human resources, sociology and biblical studies. Yet here at Geneva College, we do not reduce knowledge to that done in the classroom through books and lab work, internships and practicum, tests and writing. It brings us gladness that we also are called by your grace to wisdom developed through a multitude of activities in the residence halls, taking in the arts and theater, and in competition on athletic fields. We witness your glory during walks on late summer days, cool morning runs, long conversations over warm beverages, through reading Keats, Augustine, and Lewis, and at times like this, gathered as a community, raising one voice to you. We remember that you are the unifying aspect of Geneva College. It is through you, by you, and in you that we are able to learn and grow in all of these areas. And we proclaim that it is through Christ that all things hold together. Yet, Lord, we confess that all too often we do not endeavor as you desire. Lord, we are lazy people and self-centered. We seek our own glory rather than the glory of you, our King. And this shows through in our work as students, as educators, and as those who serve in supportive capacities. All too often we strive to please others rather than you, our Creator. For these things, Lord, we beg your forgiveness, knowing that you grant it through the work of your Son. We give you thanks, expectantly receiving it by nothing other than grace. This day, O God, make us anew. Inspire us to wholeheartedly engage the world which you have made. Push us on to, in the words of Paul the Apostle, take captive every thought to make them obedient to Christ. Lord, sustain this place of education. Show us your kindness. Humble us. Give us peace. Give peace, meekness, yet confidence to the leaders of this institution, President Smith and Provost Carson, to Dean Loomis and our academic deans, and all others that you have appointed. But not only to those who hold evident authority, help each one of us to realize the potential here to be faithful leaders and diligent followers, striving to use our gifts to the development of your kingdom. Help us to have joy in sadness, patience through trial, and hope during our deepest moments of loss, knowing that the curse which we live within has already been defeated by the effective work of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, for those here who do not know you, may this place be a place of welcome. Draw them into the beauty of your sacrifice and the hope of your glorious coming kingdom. We love you, Father, and we dedicate this year, our callings, and our futures to you. We submit all that we have and all that we are in the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
It is my privilege to introduce the 2008 winner of the Excellence in Teaching Award, and the speaker for this year's academic convocation. Last year at this very same event, Dr. Adele Aiken received the Excellence in Teaching Award because, in the words of one of her students, she has a passion for what she teaches and it overflows to her students. Dr. Aiken has been teaching at Geneva in one form or another since 1987. She taught for several years in a part-time capacity and assumed a full-time position in the fall of 1996. Dr. Aiken has a bachelor's degree from Geneva, a master's degree from another school, which I shall not name, but which is also the name of an area in London, and a doctoral degree from the University of Pittsburgh. She is currently a member of the Education Department at Geneva and is also the director of the Master's in Reading program. One of the students who nominated Dr. Aiken for this award said, "I have never been more enthralled, interested, or challenged in any of my classes before the one I had with Dr. Aiken. In every topic, Dr. Aiken brings it back into a Christian perspective." Another student wrote, "Dr. Aiken's passion for learning radiates through the classroom. The enthusiasm is inspiring. She integrates Christianity into the classroom each day in a way that is not forced, but flows from a deep walk with Christ and a strong belief of his place in the classroom." Please join me in welcoming the 2008 winner of the Excellence in Teaching Award, Dr. Adele Aiken.
Students, colleagues, guests, good morning. As I address you this morning, I can't help but wonder what you are thinking. The ones behind me on the platform are saying, okay, they're checking their watches. She's got 15 minutes. My colleagues in the faculty, I'm sure you're thinking, boy, these robes are so comfortable. I hope we can wear them every Friday. Those of you in the bleachers, upperclassmen, perhaps you're contemplating graduation. Perhaps some of you are thinking, I'd like to get started on my homework for next week. I hope you don't do it while I'm speaking. And you freshmen, maybe you're thinking, what possessed me to sign up for another 4 years of school? Whatever the case, you're here because you're expected to be here. And you're responsible adults, so you do what is expected of you. However, I wonder, on your way to becoming responsible adults, did you lose something? Well, I'm not talking about your favorite Gigapet from fourth grade, or the Pokemon cards, or the notes from the last committee meeting you attended. No, it is something that is definitely more challenging to hold on to. Something that all of us must search for at times. In fact, Christ demands that we safeguard it. He says in his word, "I tell you the truth, mark my words. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, with a child's heart, you'll never get in." So clear, so certain, so final. If you want to be in God's presence, you must have the heart of a child. So, did you lose it? On your way to becoming responsible adults, did you lose the joy, the wonder, the earnest trust found in a child's heart? The trust that says, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." The trust that believes God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. As adults, our eyes narrow. And we regard the world and the people around us with at least a degree of skepticism. Oh yes, it would be naive to not see the value in approaching some of our encounters with a hermeneutic of suspicion, but it seems as though Scripture admonishes us to also cultivate a way of reading the world that includes childlike wonder, joy, and trust. C.S. Lewis, author of the Narnia Tales, described it as living with the mind of an adult and the heart of a child. I have learned that this intriguingly elegant concept rolls trippingly off my tongue, but then when I try to live it out, it becomes kind of a sticky wicket. The mind of an adult, responsible, wise, persevering. We do inch closer to those qualities with each birthday, but the heart of a child, to nourish that, we need to be reminded. For you, it might be a work of art, a painting that makes you linger, or a song that awakens a childlike wonder in your heart and breathes life into sameness. For me, the reminder comes disguised as a story. Stories arouse the imagination, which in turn stimulates careful thinking. Stories are so much more than a momentary diversion. Just as preschool playtime provides a foundation for adult behavior, the patterns in stories help us to organize our thinking. By stories, I mean everything from Cinderella fairy tales to Crime and Punishment, and even true stories like David and Goliath, Samson and Delilah. Perhaps your favorite childhood story was Rumpelstiltskin or Mike Mulligan and the Steam Shovel. How about Make Way for Ducklings or Where the Wild Things Are? Perhaps it was The Cat in the Hat or Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Do you remember that, freshman? Charlotte's Web, Harry Potter, oh, I could go on and on. In the event that it has been a while since you heard a story and were reminded of the power of the imagination, allow me to read just a few lines from a contemporary story called Skippy John Jones. Skippy John is a Siamese cat with a mind of his own and an imagination that frustrates his mother to the point of daily lectures. Listen to his story to travel back to a time when you most definitely had the heart of a child because you were a child. Skippy John Jones by Judith Schachner. Every morning, Skippy John Jones woke up with the birds, and this did not please his mother at all. "Get yourself down here right now, Mr. Kitten Britches," ordered Mama Junebug Jones. "No self-respecting cat ever slept with a flock of birds, or ate worms, or flew, or did his laundry in Mrs. Doohickey's bird bath." The lecture went on and on as usual. "You've got to do some serious thinking, Mr. Fuzzy Pants," said his mother before she left the room, "about what it means to be a cat. Not a bird, not a moose or a goose, not a mouse or a grouse, not a rat or a bat. You need to think about just what it means to be a Siamese cat. And stay out of your closet," she added, closing the bedroom door. But once he was alone, Skippy John Jones began to bounce and bounce and bounce on his big boy bed. "Oh, I'm Skippy John Jones, and I bounce on my bed, and once or six times I land on my head." On his way down to earth from a gigantic big bounce, Skippy John Jones shot past his bedroom mirror. "Holy guacamole," he exclaimed, "what was that?" So up he went again. And again it appeared. Then, using his very best Spanish accent, he said, "My ears are too big for my head. My head is too big for my body. I am not a Siamese cat. I I am a chihuahua. Back on land, Skippy John climbed into his toy box and rifled through some of his old junk after he put on his mask and sword and climbed onto his toy mouse. Skippy John Jones began to sing in a moi moi soft voice. My name is Skippy Dofriskito. I fear not a single bandito. My manners are mellow. I'm sweet like the jello. I get the job done, yes, indeedo. Back in the kitchen, Jujubee, Jezebel, and Jillyboo Jones were helping Mama Junebug Jones make lunch. Can Skippy John come out of his room now? Asked Jujubee. No, answered Mama Junebug Jones. Mr. Fluffernutter is still thinking. In fact, Skippy John wasn't thinking about being a Siamese cat at all. With a walk into his closet, his thoughts took him down a lonesome dirt road far, far away in Old Mexico. Well, Skippy John was a little boy, so to speak, but with his childlike heart, he wondered, what if I could fly? And so he spent some time with the birds. He wondered, what if I were a brave sword fighter? And so he spent some time in his closet imagining how he could save some chihuahuas who were in trouble. Stories open our eyes to who we are and who we may become if we combine the wisdom of an adult mind with the wonder of a child's heart. Where do children get the courage to ask what if, to imagine becoming whatever God is calling them to become? Courage comes from trust. Trust in the goodness and love of God, our Heavenly Father. A child's heart trusts earnestly and without fail. I saw this so clearly demonstrated in the face of my 4-year-old daughter when my younger brother called one day to see if he could take her flying. Accumulating hours so that he could be a flight instructor, he had been talking to her about going for a ride in an airplane. So I put the question to her, do you want to go flying with Uncle Jay? Without a moment's hesitation and correctly reading the concern in my eyes, she exclaimed, I won't be afraid. I'm brave. I can stand up on a swing on one foot. Besides, Uncle Jay is a good pilot. But if he crashes and I get hurt, it won't matter because I'll be with Uncle Jay. And if I die, it won't matter because I'll be with Uncle Jay in heaven. Such trust. With a smile and a wave, she walked out the door, and true to her word, she was unafraid. She returned with a wealth of knowledge and the grown-up air of someone who had bravely embraced a new experience. Stories like this from our own memories, stories from history, stories from someone else's imagination remind us to nourish that simple trust. What else reminds us to nourish the unfettered simplicity of a child's heart? Perhaps it is when you hear the spontaneous laughter of a young child that seems to spill from every pore in his body. In fact, even the anticipation of something so simple as a jack-in-the-box popping up or a tower of blocks falling over evokes gales of laughter boisterous enough to make parents grab the video camera and stream the image to YouTube. Do you remember the one where the little boy keeps sticking his finger in his little brother's mouth? And he says, Charlie bit me. And the little baby giggles and giggles and giggles. Unlike these toddlers, you might not remember the fun of playing the same game over and over and, oh, or perhaps you do. Was that last night you were playing Rock Band for the 99th time? Oh, a young child begins giggling and clapping even before Jack pops out of the box. Just saying, I'm going to tickle you, is enough to provoke belly laughter from a little one. She has seen what happened before, and she trusts that it will be just as delightful this time. Have you ever seen a youngster running with abandon or squealing with glee just because it's great to run and laugh? I want that kind of heart that generates such joy. It may seem that this is all lighthearted fun, but even though it is lighthearted, this playful role is the work that God has given children to do at this time in their lives. And they are fulfilling that role unselfconsciously with great pleasure. I read in God's word that he has ordained praise from the lips of infants and children. Why? Because it comes from a heart that trusts earnestly and overflows with joyful anticipation. It comes from the heart of a child who hears a squeaky swing and says, "Mommy, the sing swings are singing to me." It comes from a heart of a child that says, "My daddy can fix anything." A child's heart. Did you lose something on your way to becoming an adult? Did you put away your childish things and in so doing lose your childlike heart? If you did, let this be a reminder to you to wonder anew at the moon and stars in the night sky, to delight in the quirky fuzziness of a caterpillar, and to trust in God's amazing love as a child trusts her daddy. When we rekindle the wonder that once was, that wonder impels us to ask, "What if?" Energizing our thinking with vitality and creativity. Emily Dickinson said it this way, "The possible's slow fuse is lit by the imagination." Imagine possibilities that speak redemption and hope into our sin-stained world. That kind of thinking demands the heart of a child with the mind of an adult courageously seeking the place where Christ the King is, God's kingdom. Here at Geneva College, where we teach and learn with the mission to transform society for Christ, we would do well to heed Lewis's advice. How then should we live in the academy, where we must put away childish things, but nurture a childlike and informed faith? For you students, it means beginning and finishing each class, yes, even humanities, as if you were joyfully climbing a tree, exclaiming, "Watch how high I can climb!" It means opening each book as if you were opening a gift with excited anticipation, wondering, "What if I read this whole book?" It means seeking trustworthy friends and advisors to come alongside you in your spiritual, residential, and co-curricular lives. For the rest of us, having a child's heart and an adult's mind means teaching our classes and fulfilling our roles as if we were giving the most wonderful gift we could give. It means asking, "What if?" in our own fields of endeavor to gain deeper insight and more Christ-like creative solutions. We too, I'm speaking to myself, I wrote this for myself. We too must trust that God is love and God is good all the time. Together, as a community, may we seek God's help so that each of us may receive his kingdom and serve his kingdom with the heart of a child and the mind of an adult.
Thank you, Dr. Aiken. I'm 51 years old, and I have this burning desire to ride the downhill slope at Walmart on the back of a shopping cart. If you see me doing it, you know why now. I still do every time I push that cart out. We're going to turn now from the heart to the mind. And it is now my privilege to recognize several groups of students who are using their academic gifts very well. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through a list of some groups, student groups, and when I call your name, I want you to stand. It's not your name, it's a group of names. And I don't want you to applaud until the whole group is read. And I'll give you the signal for the applause. So here we go. National Merit Scholarships, C. M. Lee Scholarships, Presidential Scholarships, and Trustee Scholarships are awarded to students based on academic promise and are maintained by academic performance here at Geneva. If you are a National Merit Finalist, Semifinalist, or Commended Scholar, or you have received the C. M. Lee Presidential or Trustee Scholarship, would you please stand and remain standing? Thank you. Okay, here's another group. If you are a new or returning student in Geneva's Honors Program, would you please stand? Alpha Chi is a National Academic Honor Society. Geneva students are elected to Alpha Chi by faculty based on academic merit and integrity demonstrated here at the college. If you have been inducted into Alpha Chi, will you please stand? There's a long list of departmental prizes and awards that are given at commencement. Now, some of the students who have received these awards have graduated and moved on. Some of them are still here as juniors and sophomores. So, if you have been awarded a prize that was given at commencement this past May, would you please stand? Geneva students are placed on the dean's list in a given semester if they have achieved at least a 3.6 GPA for work completed in that semester. If you were on the dean's list in the fall and or spring of last year, would you please stand? All right, now, let's celebrate the achievements.
Well, is there any wonder in your mind why Dr. Aiken won the Excellence in Teaching Award? I only have one question. Why is the sky blue?
I can answer. Ask Melinda.
Well, ask Melinda. It's my privilege to recognize and celebrate the work of our faculty. There are a lot of people here at this institution that have a hand in contributing to your education while you're here. But truly what draws us together is what goes on in the classroom. We do want you to have a heart of a child. And Dr. Carson, I think we need to think about heart of a child as one of the criteria for tenure. Actually, we do give great thought to who is awarded tenure at Geneva College. Unlike many institutions, the first criterion here is a deep and personal commitment to Jesus Christ that's evident in the lives of our faculty. We look at their commitment to generating exactly this balance that we heard about, a love of life and learning, the heart of a child, and the intellectual discipline that comes with the mind of an adult. And we look for people who take that exercise and translate it into excellence in teaching. And it really is a shame that we can only give one award every year. And we look for people who are deeply committed to the lives of our students, because that's why we collectively are here. And so this year, I'm pleased to announce that two faculty members were granted academic tenure by Geneva's Board of Trustees, and I'd like the two of you to stand. Dr. Shirley Kilpatrick, Professor of Humanities, and Dr. Esther Meek, Associate Professor of Philosophy. Congratulations. Thank you for the work that you do. We also recognize the promotions in academic rank of 9 faculty members this past year. I'd ask you to stand as I call your names. 5 new full professors: Dr. Adele Aiken, Education; Dr. Jeff Cole, History Department; Dr. Jim Dittmar, Leadership Studies; Dr. Shirley Kilpatrick, Humanities; and Dr. Linda Szabo in the English Department. Unfortunately, Dr. Szabo's not here. Fortunately, she's in Rome doing what she does. New associate professors: Dr. Todd Allen, Communications Department; Dr. Carrie McMahon, Chemistry; Dr. Esther Meek, Bible Department; and Dr. Ralph Phillips in Adult and Continuing Education. Again, congratulations on the work you've done. And we're also welcoming 2 new members of our faculty this year. Dr. Megan Morton, Assistant Professor of English. Dr. Morton, if you would stand. And welcoming back to the faculty after a stint in our Institutional Advancement Office, Professor Louise Copeland, Associate Professor of Music. It is a great privilege to work with these people. They do have the hearts of childs, the minds of adults, and a commitment to you. Get to know them well.
If you look into your program, you'll see that it's time now for presentation of faculty awards, more specifically, awards called Excellence in Teaching and Excellence in Scholarship. These awards that I have the pleasure of presenting today are a big deal. And I think that they're a big deal because they represent, in the words of former Stanford University President Donald Kennedy, academic duty well done. I must quickly add that such academic duty well done is even more of a big deal in our particular context of Christian higher education, because we purpose to have our work contribute to the renewal of persons and society for the cause of Jesus Christ. Duty and vision are a powerful combination, especially when they are also mixed with the virtue of love, for which we strive at Geneva. The first of 2 awards that I would like to present is the Excellence in Scholarship Award. This award is given annually to a full-time Geneva faculty member who demonstrates breadth and depth of knowledge in such a way that significantly enhances the intellectual climate of the college, stimulates and directs scholarly activity among students, and contributes to the advancement of his or her respective field beyond the college. The recipient of this year's Excellence in Scholarship Award, pregnant pause, is Dr. Bob Frazier.
Thank you.
Stay there for a minute. As many of you know, go ahead and sit down again. As many of you know, Dr. Frazier is homegrown. Grew up right here on College Hill, and just this summer moved back to College Hill with his wife, Marina. He went north to college and seminary, Gordon College and Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary, respectively, and then earned a PhD at the University of Buffalo. You will hear Dr. Frazier called many things on campus. Many wonderful, nice things. Compound nouns such as philosopher-pastor, public intellectual, sports buff, and a walking, talking Beaver Falls encyclopedia. And descriptive complementary adjectives such as open-hearted, nurturing, humble, wise. One of those who nominated him for this prize perhaps captures Dr. Frazier best. Bob epitomizes the holism in scholarship that is so very rare in academe. Scholarship for him includes enthusiastic teaching and love of his students, as well as researching and giving professional papers regularly. Those of you who don't really know Dr. Frazier yet should know that he's a philosophy professor, and that you should take a course from him sometime soon. He said amen. Those of you who do know Dr. Frazier already will know him to be a friend and student of Augustine. As such, it should come as no surprise that he's currently working on a book project on Augustine that will include some of the effort of his former and our former colleague at Geneva, Dr. Byron Bitar. Dr. Frazier is also working on two other Augustine projects, one on Augustine's notion of peace and the other on Augustine's rehabilitation of friendship for political philosophy. On a personal note, and as clear testimony to his intellectual thoroughness and commitment to being an institutional steward, many of my faculty colleagues will remember with me that faculty luncheon not too long ago, in which Bob explored with precision and devotion various strands of the Reformed tradition. That was the day that Bob Frazier achieved guru status for me. Bob, I'm deeply honored to announce you as the recipient of this award. Will you all join me once again in celebrating Dr. Frazier's excellence in scholarship at Geneva? See, I told you this was a big deal. The second of two awards that I would like to present is the Excellence in Teaching Award. This award is given annually to a full-time Geneva faculty member who demonstrates distinction in classroom teaching ability, educational leadership, creativity in teaching methodology, course and program development, and the overall enhancement of the educational climate and opportunities here at the college. The recipient of this year's Excellence in Teaching Award is Dr. Jeff Cole. Dr. Cole is a professor of history and the director of the Humanities Program and the nascent Rome Program at Geneva, that's actually at Geneva in Rome. He earned bachelor's and master's degrees at Lynchburg College in Virginia and a PhD at the Bowling Green State University. Like Dr. Frazier, Dr. Cole lives on College Hill with his wife, Christine, and their son, Quentin. Also, like Dr. Frazier, there are a zillion good things to say about Dr. Cole. And perhaps the best way to do so is simply to refer to some of the tributes that others here at Geneva fondly and regularly pay him. Regarding Geneva's New Rome program, the one that's beginning just this fall in about a week, that all of you newer students should find a way to experience, one of his colleagues, Dr. Linda Szabo, said this: "Dr. Cole has expertly led us through the program design, problem solving, budgeting, marketing, curricular innovations, and the general development and oversight of the program. His remarkable contributions to the Rome program will affect students from every major for years to come and will certainly help to enhance Geneva's reputation as a college that's committed to educational excellence." And regarding his efforts as a classroom teacher, just listen to these amazing accolades from Geneva students. "Dr. Cole has mastered integrating faith and history. No matter the course, Dr. Cole challenges me not only to think, but to think long and hard about how my faith shapes my understanding and perceptions of history and my future actions as a Christian and as a historian." Or this one: "Dr. Cole expects a lot from students, but he is also able to understand us when we come to him with problems. He's not too harsh, but he also doesn't take crap from anybody." And then last, "The highest compliment I think I can pay to Dr. Cole is that I hope to someday teach like him. If I was able to influence and to inspire students in the classroom the way that Dr. Cole does, I would feel that my career had been well spent. Jeff, I'm deeply honored to announce you as the recipient of this award. Will you all join me once again in celebrating Dr. Cole's excellence in teaching at Geneva?"
"Be Thou My Vision" is an Irish folk song that distills the wonder, joy, and trust of a child. A child who has her eyes fixed on her father. May we this year explore God's world as a child would. "Thou my great father, I thy true son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one." Please stand and join us singing, "Be Thou My Vision."
Sleeping in thy presence, my
you. Please be seated.
Some of you will pay attention to email will know that we have a young student in the hospital. Van, are you here? I'm not sure I can do this. Anthony D'Ambrosia is a sophomore sociology and sociology major and football player. Just diagnosed yesterday with leukemia, the bad kind. And
when you have kids, it makes it harder. I'll just be honest with you. It makes it harder. And we need to come together as a community and support him and pray for him, pray for the team. You know, they're supposed to get ready for games and they got this on their minds. So let's stand up, let's join hands, and let's pray for this young man and let's pray for this community.
Go ahead.
O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all this earth. How wonderful are your ways. How beautiful is your creation. And Father, we come before you looking at a year ahead, and we already have to come before you in brokenness and tears and pain and in great need. Not just because of our sin, it's there. You know it, Lord. Please forgive us. But we pray for this young man. We pray that you would be with his doctors and nurses and show them miracles. We pray that you be with his family and give them strength to comfort him and support him. We thank you for his happy, fighting spirit even now, and pray that that would continue in the days ahead. We pray for his teammates, that you would bless them, give them words to say, or just help them to hold his hand throughout this time. Be with his coaches as well, and thank you for the ministry that they are giving to him. Father, we come here to learn. We come here to be changed, and yet we have to face whatever comes our way in this fallen world. And so we say, bring it on and give us the strength in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You're dismissed.